Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went up to him with him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as he was to work, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood for the reading. And there was delivered to him the truth of the prophet Jesus. When he had opened the book, he found the place where that were aware of the truth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he wrote a book, and he gave it to the minister, sat down. Gloria and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to speak of them this day, that this should be fulfilled in your ears. And all their witness one of the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And we come to the fourth of John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 4. And he must needs go to Samaria. Then come and into the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. Yet the apostle of God that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was dead. Jesus therefore, be ready with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to cry me. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask this drink of me, which I have known this and there, whether we can't go even to this mouth. He said, I said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that says to thee, give me a drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water.
Not many did after, the younger sons gathered all together, and
and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance as bad as he was. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself as a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his swine, and he was made a very, very well host of the swine he no man gave it to him. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many I have sons of my father's have been up, and the spare night perished with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to call thy son.' Make me one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him, and said unto him, and the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to call thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoe on his feet, and bring another plant of crop and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, he was lost and is found," and they began to be merry. I cannot believe the doubt. When as yet, brother asked me, said it on me, but we joined in tonight, you know. Incompetent I was. Now we have to put God on the new chapter. Now we have found one of that. For the good we have the anointed teacher, the Lord, she never ever took out the Lord, the feeder teacher, you know, to do it. Here he is, he's the preacher. More than that, he's the anointed teacher. The Spirit of God has anointed him to teach the gospel to the poor. That's why I read the book of John, you know. He's preaching the gospel to the poor outcast. And of course, I read the book because I don't know what I wrote there, but how he's looked like. I think he's preaching the acceptable year of the Lord there. You may disagree with me, but he's certainly preaching and seeking to make God the heart of the entire Godhead, isn't he? I suppose you might know more about the 15th of Luke than I know. I remember a brother many years ago was a big, what do you call him, pillar in this assembly. He used to help the brothers in the Bible readings and all that. So you all know that. And you know what he said? I heard him say about the 15th of Luke. He said, "What I would like to say, what I always like to say, is the brother to get up on that platform here, just sitting there, that's the time he's just sitting. I would like to see the brother get up there, preach the 15th of Luke, as though it had never been preached before." Well, I don't know, so we'll have to do that now. I think we should all try to preach it as though it's going to be the last time it's going to be preached. And then it's going to be the last time that this precious, glorious gospel, which speaks of the heart of God, is going to be preached. There is going to be a last time. It's not always going to be the day of grace, no. But it is. And yet the Savior comes along, and he's fresh from the wilderness, having been attacked by the enemy, and come out victorious. He has defeated the beast, he has bound up the strong man, as they say, bound up the strong man, and now he proceeds to destroy his goods. You say, "Why, that's good for me today. We don't need somebody to spoil his goods. Everybody's suffering under it. Or what he sits is able to do, because of this world, they do what people need is. The scripture might well say, he's the God of this world. Well, here we have our Savior, the Lord from heaven. The second man, I think we all know a little bit of what the first man brought in. He brought nothing but moral disorder, had he? He was hardly here very long, but what he was hiding from God, wasn't he? God was having to see where all was. He was hiding from God. But here we have the glorious second man, our Savior, the Lord from heaven, fresh from the glory. He's not hiding from God, he's displaying God. More than that, he's displaying the heart of God. So I think he's very well competent to be declared, isn't he, the teacher. So I think about God, the Lord Jesus along, and the preacher, I think I've done very well, aren't we? I don't think he ever, I think he always had come to us to say, you know, didn't he? His word was very effective. So I always like to think, you know, that before he enters the wilderness, heavens opened on him. And he has the heavenly salutation from God the Father. He's not asking where art thou. He said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Wonderful our Savior, isn't he? It's God the Lord, if they want to be trusted, is the one who has pleased the Father. He satisfied all the righteous things of God. And in our chapter that we began with, he says he's been like a preacher. So I thought, well, we go out and take notes at some of his preachings. Now I'll straight away for the dear woman in the well. I suppose she would be perhaps the last one that many of us would contact or hurry along to have contact with, for they tell me that she was an outcast. Well, the children sing the chorus, you know, for the love of Jesus, I've been singing to himself maybe all this week. For the love of Jesus, the wonder of the love of Jesus. It's so high, you know, you can't get over it. It's so low, you can't get under it. I love this, of course. It's so wide, you can't get out of it. So here we are. At sight as well, the other heart of the outcast, social outcast, I believe she was. And he's waiting at the well of the well to tell her the glad tidings, to tell her that he's brought eternal life, the living water. And everyone who's trusted in Christ knows something about the living water. We have in Christ, we have life, we have the living water. Therefore, we can move along in this world quite independent before it's the death, you know. We can move on happily in happy communion with Christ, the life giver. So he preaches directly to this dear outcast. Of course, you might say, well, I don't think he was preaching at all, he was talking, but whatever, in whatever. faith, he was bringing bad times to the wealthy. And he begins to put an object lesson. Please let me draw water. The water I got, the sixth verse, I like the sixth verse, no? The Jesus, therefore, be weary with his journey. I like that. What we call it? Human touch. Some of us go by the word, using the connection to the Savior. Well, it's nice to know that he was a real perfect man, wasn't he? He knew what it was to weep. He knew what it was to be weary. And it said he was weary with his journey. Sat us on the well. I hope to think that the man of the glory, our Savior, who is there, he's living for us, maintaining us, he's been all the way before, every step. He knows all the road passages, he knows all the heartaches, you know, and this test hour is fully competent to deal with any road passage or any heartache that you and I may have. Because he's been the way before, he knows the way. I think it's very sweet that the Lord encourages my heart to go that way. And all my little children, journey has been a comfort to me. To know that I am really in touch with a man of glory who is going to take me home. And he knows the way, because he's been all the way before. I think that's sweet that. I think that's a great comfort to every child of God, that early with early pain. But his journey, I didn't like to pass that as a passage because it's worth it to me, and it might be, I hope, just for this, worth it to you, to know that he was weary with his journey. And his journey, you know, I think we're all where he was going. I think we're all where he was going to go to the cross, wouldn't he? You know, the glory, but it was moving down his way. He had to pass dark Calvary, you know, before he reached the glory. Because he was looking for the lost. You know, he was looking for you and I. He was the Son of Man who come to seek it to save that which was lost. And it meant a very, very great need for the Savior to seek and to save that which was lost. Our redemption be very, very costly to the Savior, dear friends. Suppose we all know that. It's good for our hearts to keep correcting afresh, seeking to take account of what it cost him to have us back again. You know. So, anyway, very good study. Sits on the well. He said, come to school. The last that was to me is most important to in verse 10. You know, Jesus says to that. He doesn't worry about the question that she's worried about, anything to do with Jesus. He doesn't worry about that at all. This is what he preaches to her. He said, now, if thou hearest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me the drink, thou wast the last of him, and they would have given me living water. And I read that, you know. Every time I read that, I think, how very important it is to know who is spoken of in the precious bad times. Who's speaking to us in the bad times. How good it is to know who you trusted, who you are about to trust. You know, it's good to know him. We'll never know him fully, but it is good to know him as Savior. People have various knowledges of Christ, various measures of knowledge of Christ, you know. Some reckon him to be well. He was a martyr, some would say, who was fast to say, he was a martyr, and the people were along with him. The man that well, he lived for his principles more than that. He died for them. And, but you know, you and I know that you don't obtain salvation. this story of Christ, there's a good man, a morally good man, you know, that lived here for God. Oh, we have to know him, haven't we? As the one that went all the way to Calvary, you know, which is his way. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. Wonderful thing to know that the Son of God one day was forsaken of God because he was the sin bearer, bearing our sins, his own body on the tree, very costly, bearing our redemption, very costly. People say when we tell them that we come to Christ, that we are sure to get to heaven, which we are not, and that we are righteous before God, which we are not, and our sins are off to him, which they are. When we say these things, you know, people think, well, a presumptuous crowd you are. Don't you think they need a little bit too high? No, dear friends, you're certainly not. The one who has blessed us with all these blessings is the same precious Saviour who laid down his life for us, who is the sacred God for us, for our sins. Well, he said, if thou wilt the gift of God, I might know what the gift of God is, you know, here, we don't know, do we? We go out and talk to God and those people do everything. And God, I think, will know what the majority of us don't know what the gift of God is. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life, isn't it? The gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God. And who it is that says to thee, and who it is that said to thee, give me to me, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Well, there we are. The living water is to be had through simply asking for it, simply trusting in Christ, asking him to give you this living water. Simply approaching him in simple childlike faith, and we receive all these blessings through this childlike trust in him, bearing him as our Savior. That's the thing, you know. We've got to know who he is, and we've got to approach him in the light of who he is, and we receive these eternal blessings from him. He loves our trust, loves our symbol, and finally we to speak. And of course, Mother Lamb, verse 16, he begins to search the dear woman, doesn't he? Well, call life and come in there. He said, I am home. Jesus said to her, I was well, said I am with the first time. I was able to come now, I am not in the not says, thou art doing. He says unto him, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. He said, well, why are you reading that? What's that got to do with sinners? What's that got to do with coming to Christ? It's got a very good thing to do with coming to Christ. It's a good thing to know, you know. That everybody that's used to Christ, faith in their Savior, they have indeed heard that they do truly need him. I think it's very important that. It's very important. It would be good for those who are our critics to realize this, the three people who have trusted Christ. We've come the gospel away. We've come the gospel away. We bow only before him, we warn him as our Savior and our Lord, and we told him that we did believe him, and that we accept in the light of the Holy Scripture that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not when he brought about to say that. Not when he brought it, there isn't any of that. It's only the humble, lowly, repentant sinner that knows the good of this. And he has no bother in coming to Christ and warning his sinnership, and he's not having any of that. So she says, and of course our next point. time in life where it was blind. I remember at St. Lawrence. He was reading it, you know, quoting it, and I was going down reading it and it was saying, exactly right. He had it off by heart, off by heart. I was just moving to tell us to get things off by heart. He chose to see the ship that I had to see to say these things at all. Then I am down. And they reckon it was off that I'd have been. It's a good thing. It's good to be able to quote the word of God. I don't know how much I've recorded, but I thank God for being here. The wondrous skill and grace is to a man sitting here. Preached by the Saviour in 1500. So in the face of these critics, he says this to all, the face of these critics, they are grumbling about them, eating this man who sees the sinners, and even welcome. The last year you've gone on a long time now, you've gone on as far back as you call. Nearly 50 years ago. I know that we received one sinner and can be another. It's been going on for some time, but I know of people that do. But you know, what I like about this portion is that he doesn't go brave. He's not hasty with them. He patiently instructs his critics. You and I have got a little bit angry over the hearts, and patient over them. But you have to teach our Savior, not only preach, to teach. Here he is, instructing the critics, the proud, self-righteous Pharisees. They couldn't think to have this man spoke of himself, claimed to be from God, could associate with such people. They didn't understand the grace of God, did they? The grace of God. To say it, but not in favor. So it is. What's the mightiest? But not in favor. The grace of God comes along when you and I are worthy and picks us up and gives us a perfect standing before God in Christ. We who were once nothing but hell. Hell deserving sinners. We used to say it one time. Hell deserving sinners. That's what you and I were. But we had to go outside of Christ in the same. And with the grace of God in the person of our Lord Jesus comes along. And here we he's explaining to them. They fail to understand, they don't know why he's here. He's the Son of Man that took the secret to say that which was lost. You and I were hungry. Thank God for that. Thank God he gave the secret to say that which was lost. It's a grand thing to realize how far you are from God. It's a grand thing to realize, you know, to not stay there. It's a grand thing to realize that you are lost and doing good. Soon I think the Lord can be found. Well, there we are. He's explaining who he should not. What man of you? I've known him that she really was. Not that the 99 of those of us that go after that which is lost, but could be fine. It's another phrase that I rather cherish. And could be fine, you know. That is a phrase that made you immediately seek to measure how far the Saviour went, how far did he have to go until he found me. How far did he have to go? The river I don't know what he wrote in there. He said that none of the ransomed ever knew. How deep for the Lord has cost. Or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, and he found the sheep that was lost. Dear friends, we praise him now, you know. We praise him have for his love that those sufferings make of free. When we get home, we'll praise him in the Lord in sweetest way, because the story of the only good men, you know, we only know the part of it. Now, we only know the part when it comes to Savior, to redeem us. Well, here he's explaining to them that the shepherd loves the sheep so that he never ceases to go on until he finds it. And when he finds it, lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. How good. How sweet to be there. I hope everybody here knows that they are there. I hope everybody here enjoys the sweet thought of being taken home on the shepherd's shoulder. And him glad to have you there. Glad to have you, how sweet. Just like him, isn't it? Just like the same again, isn't it? You know the hymn said, isn't it? The more you get to know him, the more you find him true, and the more you're on with others, will be led to another truth, going through. And that's true now. Mm-hmm. That is true. It's always a little mystery to me, you know. I think I said it there before. It's always a mystery to me how people remain outside Christ. They look at you and I about it and go with the screws that we got there. You know, we following the Savior, we who boast in his love, we who seek to follow him. Nothing but a bit. We're unbalanced, you know. Yeah, friends, they don't know the love of Christ, do they? They don't know his love. One man wrote to him, extremely funny thing, but did not help me out with it. One man wrote to him, he said, well, that's well, our Lord. With all his very soul, and thou, Lord Jesus, well done, Lord. He still won't go. How true. How true. You might have a mentor, which is the outside of Christ, it's still one. It's still one. So we have the sheep on the shoulders of the shepherd. And it's not the sheep that's rejoicing. It is a happy thought to be on his shoulder, it is an atmosphere of rejoicing to be there, isn't it? But look at what the Bible says, the shepherd's rejoicing. You say, does it mean he's not happy there? It does indeed. It does indeed, dear friend. It refreshes the Savior's heart, you know, to be able to retrieve you, to find you, be able to put you on his shoulder and take you home. The Savior rejoices over that. I was thinking of what he when he said to the woman, give me drink, you know. I thought, now how? How can anybody refresh the Savior? Well, I think we seek our pleasure to give him a drink, don't we? We gather together in memories, his wondrous, glorious death, don't we? We seek to refresh his heart, shall we do it? But you know the blessing, can we really, probably really be for him, I'm sure. It's the Savior who gives him, refreshes his heart. How good it must be as he sits on his throne and he is laying the door and the poor sees that his heart. That's what we're missing that time of the body, isn't it? There we have been speaking about the chapter, but the thought in reading it was that to let you know that this preacher, this anointed preacher, he makes no mistake in giving you and I his tricks to know, anybody that's interested, to know that the whole of heaven, the whole of Godhead, is interested in your eternal blessing. The whole of Godhead. As we see the shepherd, as we say, the shepherd, the good shepherd, said to us, said, I am the good
good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In this way, he gives his life for the sheep. You know, further on, the same chapter, I say, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. One of this glorious Christ of God in me takes us out from the rivers of the garden into the atmosphere of glory. Well, that's all I say there. That's the salvation that he gives too. That's the assurance that you give your heart to everything. If you do it wrong, if you can't say he's yours, then you don't know anything about it. It's good. It's time for you to step in and tell him he's yours. It's the Savior who loves you, yours. Fear him yet, and fear him now, while you have time. Fear him now. The other day, a woman used a piece of silver, lights the candles, reached the house, she's still with me. It's all being some sharp, very of the Holy Spirit, too. He's working through, he might be working out here, but just here, working here, perhaps in some part here, then getting you to realize it's time to see Christ. It's time to see Christ as your Savior. It's time when you came before him, and now look before him, trust in him. So he often runs out of trust in him. He knows us to come and charge that him and pray in him. How good it is. That is she moved in the sleeper, sweets good in the divine. Even the Holy Spirit, the Spirit is speaking. There is joy in the presence of the kingdom of God for one sinner to be penitent. And then we have it here, the call of the coming Son, the poor. One who was afar from you, you were lost to me. Feel the famine. It's a good thing, you know. It's a good thing when you know that there's nobody else in this world famine, which there is. Not again as far as I was so in and shut. Then it works in it. The life is winning. No man gave a room. But he thought about the Father's house. He thought about the Father's heart. He thought he would hurry back home. He came to himself. That's what he came to himself. He decided to return to his Father and his boss. This is all the tale of grace that the Savior is telling you. This is the tale of grace fresh from heaven. The Savior is from all the way from the glory to heaven. Words, gracious words. And he tells it in the ears of the critics. He seeks to instruct them that God, the Father, is waiting to receive the prodigal. That he comes himself and seeks to bring him back. The chapter further down tells us that the Father was looking out for him. From the heart of the Father, looking out for him, ran to meet him, fell on his neck and covered him with kisses, and then arrayed, suitably arrayed for the best soul, and he began to remember. Yet then, we feel that the God to Martha, the Savior and Shepherd, and the Holy Spirit of God, who will live with all the might, with all the grace of the Godhead, bring in Christ. That's what we need, that's all we have. So that's what our Lord is doing. So the Lord will have thought about the seed who's been before us in the preachings of the anointed preacher, fresh from the glory, with his heart full of grace, for the poor sinner who is ready.